You've been working your tail off all week and you're so excited for the weekend. Yay for a break. But then Friday afternoon, you find yourself filling your teacher bag and all weekend long, you feel this pressure to work on just a few school things that you didn't finish during the week. So that break is spent working. It's not a true break and this just perpetuates the stress cycle. So how can we as teachers redefine what weekends should look like? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode.
Welcome to the Teacher Time Podcast, a space where teachers are empowered to take control of their prep time so they can enjoy their time off guilt-free. You know how teachers are always working long hours? Here, we're changing that norm together by tackling your biggest productivity questions and planning challenges. I'm your host, Stephanie Pilevchik, kindergarten teacher, toddler mama, and your very own productivity mentor. I know what it takes to get your important tasks done so you can consistently work your scheduled hours as a teacher, and I'm sharing it all with you here. In this community, we believe that you can be an effective teacher without sacrificing your free time. So let's ditch that constant cycle of overwhelm for teacher time strategies that work. Why? Because your time matters.
Hey there, teacher friend. Welcome back to the Teacher Time Podcast. Last month, we talked about maximizing your prep time productivity so that you could actually take a break over the weekend or, you know, over spring break. I am currently on spring break when this episode airs and guarantee I am fully enjoying it. And this week, I wanted to talk about that. How do you actually take a break? Because it can be challenging to do that. There tends to be this narrative in teacher world where we feel this sense of, we feel this obligation to keep working simply because there is more to be done. Even when you do make the most of your prep time, even when you do get things done during your time that you have at school, there's always going to be more to do. We have weekends and spring breaks and summer breaks and winter breaks, but more often than not, those breaks are spent catching up on grading, prepping, or lesson planning. And then we're left without a break. We're left going back to work feeling more depleted than before, begging for Friday or the next break to get through. It's this never-ending cycle. Work our butts off week after week. Celebrate when Friday gets here. Lug your teacher bag home and work all weekend. Do it again on Monday. Celebrate when the next break happens, but don't forget to fill that teacher bag again. I know because I was this teacher. What if it didn't have to be like that, though? I want to encourage you in this episode to stop this kind of thinking in its tracks. I want to encourage you to redefine what it means to be a good teacher and to redefine what teachers do over breaks or over weekends. And today, I want to share three tips to help you do that. These are three tips that I personally practice as a teacher and in my personal life too. And I think they're going to really help you begin to move away from that narrative of what you feel like you should be doing to what you actually want and need to do in order to enjoy those breaks that we're so lucky to have. So tip number one is to let go of the shoulds. I've been listening to the audio version of the book, Burnout, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle. I'll link the physical book in the show notes. And the authors of that book, they talk about this part of your brain that they refer to as your monitor. I don't even remember what the actual like process and part of your brain is because they just talk about it as your monitor. And I found that a lot more relatable and understandable. And they talk about how this monitor has strong opinions about what you should be doing, what you should be accomplishing, and what you shouldn't be. And your monitor, this part of your brain, makes it really well known to you when you're not meeting up, right? I tried to think about this in terms of teachers and all the things that we feel like we should be accomplishing day to day, how our students should be behaving. There's a long list I could go on, right? About all those things that we tend to feel like we should have control over. And truth be told, I'm super guilty of this in all aspects of my life. When I'm feeling overwhelmed or anxious, it's usually because I'm spending too much time overanalyzing all of the shoulds in my life. To be a good mom, I should be able to do this. I should be able to keep my house clean. I should be enjoying playing with my toddler for more than 10 minutes at a time. Often, these shoulds, though, are focused on things that are not achievable or not realistic, or they're outside of our control. As teachers, we tend to take work home with us or go into school on weekends because we feel like we should be doing these things. If we don't have brand new centers or super engaging lesson plans done, we feel like we're falling short somehow. If we leave work before we finish everything on our to-do list, that's not being a, quote, good teacher. But what if instead of focusing on the things we think we should be doing, what if we redefine that? What needs to be done, right? We can ask ourselves these questions. What needs to be done? What can be done? Like, what is actually achievable and attainable for me? And what's within my control and my capacity as a human, not as a teacher, but as a person? So I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, so here are some things that need to be done, right? Lesson plans need to be done. Copies, printables that you might need for a lesson need to be done. What doesn't need to be done, right? You don't need brand new centers every single week. Actually, I've talked about this in podcast episodes before, but when we provide our students with more opportunities to practice certain activities, they actually master them better and they become more independent. So there's definitely benefits to utilizing centers more than one time, right? What about things that are in or out of your control? These things are out of our control. How much prep time we get, student behavior, other people's thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And these things are in our control, how we manage our prep time, when we choose to work and not work, regardless of what's on that to-do list, and our own thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. When we understand what's within our control, we can start to shift from unattainable goals for ourselves to attainable goals, like staying calm when supporting a student emotionally, right? When we understand, like, I cannot control this child's behavior, but I can support them and I can be a calm role model for them. That's focusing on what's within our control, and it's more effective. We can leave work at 3:30 p.m., for example, and not check email so that we can focus on personal things or things that just like refill your cup for the next day. When you are constantly in work mode, you're constantly in this cycle of stress because you're never actually doing anything to release that stress or to go to just like this state of calm. Getting your lesson plans that you can get done during the time that's allotted, that's focusing on what's within our control. That's an attainable goal for ourselves. Prepping activities that you have the time to prep instead of feeling pressure to make everything you do like extra, right? And I'm not saying that like it's not fun to do some like extra special things. Like, you know, right before spring break, we just had a spring writers celebration and, you know, we decorated the room and we did some extra crafts and that was great. But I felt that I had the capacity to do that. And I also recruited help from room parents so that it wasn't just all on me. We need to not push ourselves to do things that we feel like we should do when it's just out of our capacity. And it's just, we're setting ourselves up for focusing on things that are unattainable. So I want to get into tip number two. This brings me to tip number two, right? So tip number two is redefine success as a teacher. So if we're letting go of what we think we should be doing, then we should also redefine what it means to be a good teacher. Being a good teacher doesn't mean spending all hours at work. It doesn't mean always thinking about the kids, waking up at 3 a.m. and worrying about what you need to do and the next lesson that you're going to do. constantly researching new teaching activities. Like, I mean constantly, right? Like never giving yourself a break from being in teacher mode. That's not what being a good teacher is. Instead, it can mean really whatever you think it should mean, but it can mean being present at school with your students, learning what you can when you can, seeking support during the hours that work for you. One of my grad school teachers once said the best quality, like the quality that makes a good teacher, is not someone whose lessons go perfectly every single time. It's the teacher who's reflective about their practices and who is willing to try new things and learn to get better. Prioritizing yourself outside of work, because you're not just a teacher, you know. Understanding that you can be passionate about a career without losing yourself, who you are to it. I love teaching. It makes me so happy when my students are learning, when I help them have those light bulb moments, when I help them learn to read or understand a math concept or work through those big feelings. Like, that lights me up. I love planning engaging lessons and finding creative ways to engage my students in their learning. But I don't need to do that at the expense of myself. Clearly, I can go on about this. And for this tip, I just want to encourage you to write this down, journal about it, or, you know, open up your notes app in your phone and ask yourself, what does being a good teacher mean to me? And then question it. Is this realistic? If not, make some adjustments. All right, tip number three, use planful problem solving. This strategy also comes from the book that I referenced earlier in this episode. And as a natural planner, it's my favorite because I think it allows us to kind of have some control over our day-to-day in the sense that we can be proactive. No doubt about it, we have a lot on our plates. And having a lot of responsibilities versus what feels like a lack of time can cause stressful situations. It can cause those thoughts about what we should and shouldn't do. It can cause us to feel more overwhelmed and stressed. So one way to manage that stressor is to have a plan for the problem. The problem being, I have X number of things to get done in order to be prepared to teach next week and not feel like I have to take work home with me, right? Which, by the way, you don't ever have to take work home with you. You're not getting paid for that time. Certainly, if you want to do that, that is one thing. But I always want to spread the message that you do not have to do that. You should only do something that you want to do. But I also recognize that when we don't get certain things done, it can feel harder to let go of work on the weekends or over a break. If you've been hanging around a while, you can probably guess what I'm going to say next, which the way to use planful problem solving here is to plan out what you're going to do during your prep time, right? I said it before, the amount of time that you have for your prep time is uncontrollable. What you do with that time is within your control. So have a plan for what you're going to do during the week. Number one, you want to have this plan ahead of time because you're going to be tired from teaching, right? Like, you're making tons of decisions about how to best support your students, not only academically, but emotionally as well. And so when you sit down during your prep time, the last thing you want to do is make another decision about what to work on. The last thing you want to do is look at that long to-do list and be like, oh, now what should I do? You're going to just want to pick the easiest thing. So I'm going to actually link to a free to-do list for you where you can map out what you get done during each day of the week. And I've broken up this template into must-dos and like extra things to help you prioritize and make this achievable for you. And you'll notice that I didn't include like 10 spots for must-dos each day because that is unattainable, right? Instead, I gave you slots, like three slots for you to write in, okay, this is what I must get done today. And any of these things are extra tasks that I may do if I find that I have more time. But when you use a template like this to plan out your week, you're going to, number one, be able to prioritize better. And number two, focus on getting your most important things done so that by the end of the week, when those things are done, it's going to feel easier to let go of what didn't get done. Now, if you want to take this one step further, that's where my mini training, Prep Time Makeover, comes in. Prep Time Makeover is my mini training. It's a self-paced training where I will take you from overwhelmed by your never-ending to-do list to having a solid plan for getting your important tasks done in a way that is actually attainable. So you've got this free to-do list. I definitely want you to go download that and give it a try. But if you find that you're still feeling a little bit stuck about how to prioritize those tasks, I want you to check out Prep Time Makeover because this could be a really good solution for you. You deserve to leave work at work, and this plan can help you do that. So I will link to Prep Time Makeover as well. If you want to check it out now, the link is www.teachinglittleleaders.com/makeover. Again, I'm going to link to both of these in the show notes so that you can check it out. Definitely go download that to-do list, though. It's great. You can print one out for every week and just fill it in. Have a plan for your prep time. All right. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I hope that this episode has gotten you thinking about how to let go of the shoulds that are causing you stress, and how to redefine what being a good teacher should and can mean. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what we talked about here and want to connect further, you can find everything you need on my website, www.teachinglittleleaders.com. And if you loved this episode in particular, share it with your teacher friends by taking a screenshot and posting to Instagram stories. Make sure to tag me at Teaching Little Leaders so I can see it and reshare. I'll see you next Tuesday. Have a fabulous week.